Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store.
Morning. This morning we are continuing with our sermon series called Voices. And I hope that if you've been with us the last couple weeks, you've had a chance to complete the voice audit, the voice evaluation that Tyler provided us with. If you haven't, I highly suggest that you do that. We've been talking about the voices in our lives that disciple us. And today, we're going to shift our focus a little bit and spend a couple weeks talking about specifically how we hear God's voice through practices or spiritual disciplines in our lives. Sometimes the idea of hearing God's voice can become almost a novelty in our minds. It's as if that's something that we can achieve as believers, as if it's like a level that we can unlock. So today I want to ask that you shift your mindset to remember that when we say we want to hear God's voice, what we are actually seeking is a relationship with Him. Our goal in hearing God's voice is to know God better. And one of the very best ways that we can know God better is by immersing ourselves in His Word. Because in this book, on every page, we hear God's voice. We turn to Scripture for so many things. We turn to Scripture for comfort and encouragement and healing and so much more. We turn to the Bible because we want to know Jesus. Everything we know about everything that we believe comes from this book, yet how many of us feel confident saying that we are well acquainted with this book? By developing consistent rhythms in our lives of Scripture reading and prayer, we will position our hearts to hear God's voice with confidence. But the truth is, not all of us feel confident opening this book and being able to apply the words in this book to our lives. What has your experience with this book been? For some of us, we grew up learning that only priests or noble religious leaders were even allowed to attempt to interpret Scripture. Some of us had grandparents who left their Bible open up in on a shelf to the same page for the whole 50 years that you visited their house. It served only as a visible representation of the power that the words in this book held, but it wasn't something you could actually pick up and read and explore yourself. Some of us remember as children learning Bible stories about miracles and parables and so many other things, but we never made that transition to connecting and realizing how each of those stories, when you put them together, they combine to make one big picture of God's love for us. So what has this book, what has the Bible represented in your life? What's your story? Because we could each tell our own story. And what has that experience and everything else you've accumulated over your life, no matter how young or how old you might be, how confident has all of that made you today in your ability to read the Bible and to know what to do with the truths that you read? Today we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of reading Scripture and praying, why we must do it, how we do it, when we do it. And our prayer for you is that your eyes will be opened to remember not just how important the Bible knowledge is. It's not just about how much Bible trivia you know and historical context and Old Testament genealogy and all the things you learn by studying and learning facts about the Bible. That stuff's important, and we will talk about that. But what is equally as important is your willingness to open up your heart and to allow the words of this book to transform your lives from the inside out. It all starts with the position of our hearts. It starts with our attitude and with the belief that God has the ability to transform our lives. It starts with a willingness to approach God's word with a teachable spirit and with a humble heart. It's about remembering that every time we open this book, we see God's word and we hear His voice on every single page. And we're reminded that His voice, what it sounds like, is love and compassion and conviction and humility and so much more. But it all starts with the position of our hearts. So what's the position of your heart right now? Dane Ortlund, who is a pastor, recently wrote these words in his book. It's called Gentle and Lowly. He said, "When the Bible speaks of the heart, whether Old Testament or New, it's not speaking of our emotional life only, but of the central animating center of all that we do. It's what gets us out of bed in the mornings and what we daydream about as we drift off to sleep. It's our motivation headquarters. The heart, in biblical terms, is not part of who we are, but it's the center of who we are. Our heart is what defines and directs us." And I love the way he articulated that because it caused me to ask myself, what's my motivation headquarters? What is at the driving force of everything I say, everything I do, all of my actions? Is it Jesus? And if it's not, that's okay, but what am I willing to do to change that? Philippians 4:8 says this, "The Apostle Paul commanded us to fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Do you think the people around you know what your motivation headquarters is because of how you live that verse out? Are your thoughts fixed on what is true and honorable and right and pure? Are you truly in your heart giving God permission to let his will be done, or are you still kind of working on your own little agenda? Are we really opening our heart, opening our minds to the words that God needs us to hear so that we can hear his voice, know what it sounds like, and know what to do next? Today, I want to look at Samuel with you in the Old Testament. I believe there is so much that we can learn from the life that Samuel lived, and it all started with his first encounter and hearing from God. And that's what I want to read with you. Samuel was one of the last judges in the Old Testament. He was one of the first prophets, and he was chosen by God to anoint kings. He heard God's voice, and he knew what to do with it. So let's read part of his story together. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli." Eli was kind of his mentor at that time. "Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, 'Samuel!' 'Yes,' Samuel replied. 'What is it?' He got up and ran to Eli. 'Here I am. Did you call me?' 'I didn't call you,' Eli replied. 'Go back to bed.' So he did." Next slide. "Then the Lord called out again, 'Samuel!' And again, Samuel got up, went to Eli. 'Here I am. Did you call me?' 'I didn't call you, my son,' Eli said. 'Go back to bed.' Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. 'Here I am. Did you call me?'" Quick time out, and then I'm going to read a couple more verses. I have to be honest with you that as I was trying to figure out what passage I wanted to read with you, I kept being called back to this particular passage. And I was almost annoyed by it because I was a little just annoyed with Samuel, because I think many of us would love if God would call us directly, right? If he would say our name, we would love that opportunity. And God does that with Samuel three times, and Samuel doesn't realize it's him. And I was kind of annoyed that I kept being called back to this passage, because we're all better listeners than that, right? I am confident that if God was calling me by name, I would know immediately that it was him. But as I kept reading this passage and rereading this passage and figuring out what it was that God needed me to hear and to read in this passage, I realized how many times in my life God has called me directly, probably well more than three times, in a situation, trying to get my attention, but because I was so focused on all the other voices and influences in my life that have been louder than God's in different seasons, I didn't hear him. And now I realize that whole time, I'm sure God was somewhere, probably right in the corner of that room where I was, trying to get my attention, but I couldn't hear him. And that's what Samuel is experiencing in this passage. God's calling out to him. He assumes it's these voices that he's paid attention to before because he was supposed to. And sometimes it just takes a little extra nudge. So let's read what happens next. "Then Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy." Eli realized it. "So he said to Samuel, 'Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."' So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." There is so much power in what we can learn from that example of how Samuel responded to God. Once he knew, even though he had to be directed to it from someone else, once Samuel knew that it was God's voice, he made sure God knew that he was listening. And that wasn't the only time that Samuel heard directly from God. Because of his willingness to obey God, to listen to his voice, to obey God's command, this helps Samuel enter this relationship with God where he was constantly hearing God's voice. Now, at the beginning of that passage, we read, it said that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, to be clear, that did not mean that Samuel didn't know about God. He'd heard that God existed. He knew about God, but he had never heard God's voice in his life. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think that describes a lot of us. I think that it's very possible to know about God our entire lives without ever actually letting him into our hearts and truly getting to know his voice in our lives. So today I want to talk through three simple things that we see Samuel do in this story that we can learn from when it comes to hearing God's voice in our lives and living that out. And the first is very simple. We see Samuel tune in. How will you make sure that your ears, your heart, your mind, your soul are open to what God needs you to hear? We see Samuel tune in first with his ears because he assumes Eli is talking to him, but then Samuel tunes in with everything that he has, with his heart, with his mind, with his soul. He remembers what God's voice sounds like. He remembers where he is when he hears from God. He remembers what he's doing so that he can gain that posture again the next time he wants to hear from God. How are we all doing at tuning in to hear from God? I think that personally, there's a lot that I could learn about how to approach my quiet time, my time in the Word, from how Samuel did. I'm a procrastinator by nature, and that rolls over into my quiet time as well. I wish it didn't, but I need to be honest that it does. So a couple examples of what I mean by that in my relationship with God. I am a mom of two kids, and we've had 67 snow days in the month of February already, and my patience is wearing very thin, and it's not a good time because this week's looking to be about the same. But if I'm honest with you, I've stood up here before and told you that I struggle with a bit of a temper sometimes, especially with my children. And I am really great in the moment when I know that I'm about to lose it of asking God to give me patience then, right in that moment. I need it right now. Could you just give me a little bit of patience? Another example, when I'm at work and I need to have a difficult conversation or I'm heading into a tough meeting where I know that I'm going to need God to be present in that moment, I'm really good as I'm walking into that meeting or as I'm sitting down, I'm really great at asking God then to show up, to give me wisdom, to give me humility, to give me the grace that I need. Why am I not asking him to cultivate those things in me? Why am I not giving him the space in my heart and in my life to cultivate those things inside of me all week long so I wouldn't have to wait until I'm in the heat of the moment when it's really too late for me to be expecting him to just give me exactly what I want? And if I'm honest, a lot of times when I approach my time in God's word, I treat it the same way, where I'm like, I've got some time, I got to read something in the Bible, and then after I read it, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask that God will help me figure out what to do with what I just read. Now, to be clear, I don't think there's anything wrong with that approach. If you're in the Word, you're hearing from God, you're praying to him. But what if we flip that script a little bit? What if instead of reading and then asking God to help me respond to what I've read, what if instead I actually pray in anticipation or in expectation of what God needs me to learn from his Word that day? What if I learned and I followed Samuel's example when we see him so clearly say, "Speak, your servant is listening." Those five simple words. What would your prayer time and your quiet time with God look like if you started it every time by just making sure that God knows that you are there in that moment, your eyes are open, your heart is open, and you're ready for him to speak and say whatever it is that he needs you to hear? I think that it would transform my quiet time, and maybe you'd have the same experience. How are you tuning in and giving God the space to lead and to move in your heart so that he can change your life? Are you tuning in to God? The next thing that we see Samuel do after he learns what God's voice sounds like, he learns how to hear directly from God, we see Samuel train. It's not over as soon as you know how to connect with God. In fact, that will never be over. We have to continue training. So what tools have you acquired that will help you hear God's voice? And this is specifically related to Bible knowledge. It's not always the fun part, but it is essential if we truly want to hear God's voice and allow it to lead and to rule in our lives and rule in our hearts. So what training have you done? It's not just about the Bible knowledge, it's also about the heart knowledge. But that Bible knowledge is essential. And sometimes it can be frustrating when we try to read God's word, to try to figure out what it is that he's trying to say or what a passage means or what it's supposed to mean for our lives. It's okay that it feels confusing or that you're not sure exactly what it means, but it means that we have a responsibility to figure that out and not to just close the book and put it away because we don't know what it means. In his book, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, Gordon Fee says this. He said, whether one likes it or not, every reader is at the same time an interpreter. That is, most of us assume as we read that we also understand what we read. We also tend to think that our understanding is the same thing as the Holy Spirit's or human author's intent. However, we invariably bring to the text all that we are with all of our experiences, culture, and prior understandings of words and ideas. Sometimes what we bring to the text unintentionally, to be sure, leads us astray or else causes us to read all kinds of foreign ideas into the text. Every time we open God's word, we are a reader and an interpreter. And just like over the last couple weeks, Tyler has been reminding us that every experience that we have, everything that we've been through in our lives, it shapes the lens through which we see the world around us. And it's no different when we open our Bibles and read scripture. We read every word through that very specific lens of our own personal experiences. And the worst thing we could do would be to assume that whatever it is that we're reading is exactly what that author's intent was or what God's intent was in speaking to us. We have so much more responsibility to train, to acquire tools that will help us learn what God's voice is saying to us every time we read his word. So today, knowing that we are all on different places in that spectrum of Bible knowledge and training, some of you just need to admit that it's time for you to open God's word. And if that describes you, we are so excited that you're here and we want you to get in God's word. Some of you have been learning and training your entire lives and you should really be up here teaching this message instead of me. So knowing how wide that spectrum is, I want to share just a few simple tips or starting places where you can figure out where you are and figure out what your next step is in your training. Because no matter if you are a Bible scholar or you're just getting started, all of us will always have room to grow in our understanding and our knowledge of who God is in our lives. So the very first starting place, if you truly are just getting started, you need to figure out what translation of the Bible you're going to read. If you come to Northeast often, you're going to notice that we will often read and teach from the NLT, which is the New Living Translation, or the NIV. My study Bible is actually the CSB. And if you look at this chart of all the Bible translations that exist, you will notice that all three that I just mentioned all fit within the thought for thought section of the translations. And what that means is that the author or authors of these translations, they looked at the original text. They took it thought for thought, maybe line by line, and tried to simply transpose the original text into contemporary English language that's a little easier for us to understand. So you need to find the translation that works for you and stick with it, especially when you're first getting started. Stick with one translation so that you can become familiar with the tone and really understand what it's trying to say. The next thing, once you figure out the translation, is often, what do I read? Where do I start? What am I supposed to do? Do I just open it? I think when I was a kid, it was called like popcorn Bible reading, where you just see where God takes you. We want you to be intentional. And so if you want to be intentional in your Bible reading, you need a plan. And the great thing about the times that we're living in right now is that there are literally thousands of resources at our disposal every single day. There are websites and apps and podcasts and devotionals, and there is more content available to all of us that if we spent every moment of the rest of our lives trying to take that in, we wouldn't even scratch the surface. And that can feel really overwhelming. So start small. I don't want to put up a list of 40,000 options, so instead I'm going to suggest two. Many of you don't need to listen to this because you're already there. If you don't have the Bible app on your phone, it's time for you to get that. Take it with you wherever you go. If you download the Bible app, you have access to the Bible in every translation. It also has reading plans on it, so if you don't know where to start, you can choose a plan based on the topic, or you can read chronologically, or by book throughout Scripture. You can read by yourself. You can also get in a community and read with other people within that app. There are so many great resources there. Download the Bible app today if you don't have it. Another option is the Dwell listening app. This one does have a very small cost involved, but it's a listening app. So if you want someone to read the Bible to you, this is great for those of you who need to have that time when you're working out, when you're in the car, when you're a little more on the go and a little more mobile, or if you're someone who responds and absorbs things better when you listen, this is a great resource for you. Make sure, the most important thing there is make sure that you have access to the Bible at all times, because right now with technology, there's no excuse for us not to. Once you know what you're going to read and how you're going to access it, you need to make sure that you understand how to interpret what you're reading. So you're going to do this process. It's called exegesis. All it means is that you're going to try to figure out and decipher what the author's original intent was when they wrote that verse. And that can sound kind of intimidating, but it's also really exciting because it involves some research. It requires that training that we're talking about. You're not just going to hear God's voice one time and immediately know and understand what he's trying to say to you. So what training are you going to do? How are you going to learn how to interpret what you're reading throughout Scripture? I have a few suggestions if you do want to dig a little bit deeper on that, of books and resources that have helped me personally in that process. Now, if you ask any pastor, any person in your life, they're all going to have different suggestions. But for me, I just read a quote from one of these books. It's called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. That's a textbook I had in my freshman year of Bible college in my hermeneutics class, and I have continued to utilize that resource and to refer other people to it over the years. It's a great option. Jen Wilkin has a book called Women of the Word. Men, if you can get past the fact that it says women in the title, I promise you will get just as much out of it as any woman that I know. Those are a couple of the commentaries that I have used personally. Again, everyone's going to suggest different things to you, so do your research, figure out what feels like it'll be most comfortable for you, or you'll actually follow through on reading. We have a responsibility as believers to learn how to read the text that God puts in front of us. We cannot take that responsibility lightly. We need to make sure that we read every single verse of the Bible with our eyes wide open. And that means that we have to take advantage of all the resources and all the information that is available to us if we truly want to hear God's voice in all that we do. So read the commentaries, read the content in the margin or the footnote of your Bible. Actually learn and understand the maps in your Bible. Have you guys ever honestly looked at one of the maps in your Bible? You should try it. You might learn a lot. There's so much good information available to us, and all we have to do is say that we're ready and look at everything with our eyes wide open. Another thing that God is very clear that we need to be doing is to lean on the people around us to help us learn better how to read God's word. So maybe that means your spiritual leaders or your small group leaders or the people who are right at the place where you are along your journey, who are trying to better understand God's word. It's a pretty cool experience to read something and have an idea of what you think it's trying to say, and then to hear how someone else interpreted it. And it brings and reminds us of that responsibility that we have to figure out what the text is truly, truly telling us. So how are you going to put yourself in community with other people who can help you do just that? If you don't have that biblical community in your life, please let us know. We would love to get you connected in that way, in any way that we can. We have to have a place where we can ask the questions and feel comfortable and confident saying, what does that even mean? I'm so confused by that. Help me understand. You know, one of my favorite friendships here at Northeast all started with a message in my inbox that literally said, "Hey, Melinda, you don't know me, but I want to read the Bible and I don't know where to start. Help." That's all it said. And it has developed and blossomed into this beautiful friendship where we can talk about the hard things, we can look at scripture together. There's so much opportunity if we lean into the people around us and remember that God calls us to live in community with other people. Over the last couple of years, a lot of our small groups have started utilizing a Bible study tool that's called the Discovery Bible Study. And the great thing about this study tool is that it works when you're by yourself, and it works when you're reading scripture with other people. There's no room anymore for simply reading a passage and saying, "Well, that was really nice. I'm glad I read that." We have a responsibility to respond to every word from God that we read. How are we going to respond to his word? So this tool, all it requires is that you ask 4 simple questions about the text that you just read. And the first 3 are pretty straightforward. What does this passage tell me about God? What does this passage tell me about people? What does this passage say about obedience? Now, if you are utilizing this tool with other people, there's a good chance that for the most part, those 3 questions, you might have pretty similar answers to those questions. But 4, again, it leaves no room for reading a passage and saying, "Well, that was great." 4 is the call to action. What is God calling me to do about it? If you read a verse in the Bible or a story in scripture, we have a responsibility to do something with it. So what is God calling you to do with what you just read? How simple of a tool is that to always keep in the back of our minds that anytime we see God's word and we hear his voice through scripture, he's asking you to do something. So for example, I read this passage in Samuel with you a few minutes ago, and there's a good chance that I need to do something with it because I told you that it convicted me and I kept being called and urged back to this passage. So for me, God has given me a very clear message about what I'm going to do about it. I have got to create space in my life and to be still long enough to hear his voice and not always assume that my last minute self and procrastination is the best method. How am I going to give God the space that he needs and deserves in my life so that he can speak to me through his word? That is a really awesome tool, and I hope that you'll take advantage of those very simple questions. Again, I know that's a lot of content. I hope you heard something in that training piece that gives you a very clear idea of something that you can do starting today to immerse yourself, to train under God's word, to hear his voice better through scripture. What is your next step? We see Samuel do that in scripture. We see him learn from God. We see God continue to speak to him because of his willingness to obey. And because Samuel tunes in and because Samuel trains and hears from God, Samuel's life begins to transform. And that is what God wants for each and every one of us. How will your life be changed because of what you've just experienced? Because of what God has done in your life, because you've been so tuned in, you've been willing to say, "Speak, your servant is listening." You've said that to him, you've trained so you can better understand his word. Now, how will you allow him to change your life? James 1:22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." We must become doers of God's word. We can't just sit back and do all this training and take in all this knowledge and this information and just think that that's what God intended for us to do with it. How are you taking what you've learned and how are you living it out to share it with the people around you? How are you allowing God to transform your heart and to transform your life because of your willingness to identify his voice in your life and to take a step of action based on that? What is a small step that you can take today to show God that you are willing to allow him to transform your life in incredible ways? It all starts with the position of our hearts. So what are we willing to admit or to say out loud that we need God to do in our lives? Maybe for you, it's that you really just need to pick up your Bible and open it up this week. Maybe it's time. Maybe for you, it's that because of COVID and all the other excuses we have, maybe you haven't been reading God's word in community with other people. Maybe you haven't been allowing other people to call you out, to hold you accountable when it comes to the hard truths that God needs us to hear. Maybe God's been urging you to get in that baptistry and you've been putting it off because you can think of every excuse imaginable. How are you going to take a small step today to show God that you're listening to him, that you hear his voice in your life, and that you're willing to respond and take a step of action? Can be very simple. It might be really complex, but we're here to walk through that with you. If I'm honest with you, I know what my step is, and I don't even want to admit it to you because it's really more of a confession. At the beginning of this year, I committed with my small group to read through the Bible this year, and I'm really far behind. And I shouldn't admit that to you, but here's the truth. My small group's listening to this sermon, and they can go look and see exactly how far behind I am in that reading. So I think it's important that I admit it out loud. But here is why I am so behind. Here's my excuse. I didn't make a plan. I was not intentional in my decision to commit to taking this on. I just assumed, like, I'll fit it in somewhere. I'll get that reading done. I'll do it just, you know, when I can fit it in. Well, I didn't. I didn't fit it in. So don't just decide to take a step today without also making a plan. There's a book that's called Atomic Habits. It's by James Clear. And we've talked about that book here before, but it's so good and the content fits so perfectly that we're going to revisit it. In this book, here's what the author says. He says, the most effective way to change your habits is to focus on not what you want to achieve, but who you wish to become. So I just told you that I really want to read my Bible because I'm committed to doing this with my small group, but that's the habit. This book is about habits. The habit that I want to adopt in my life is to be more committed in my Bible reading. But that's not who I wish to become. I don't wish to become someone who reads my Bible every day. I wish to become more like Jesus. I wish to become someone who hears God's voice in my life and in my heart and immediately knows how to respond because I'm so familiar with what his voice sounds like in these pages. The habit is that I need to read my Bible. So what's the habit that you need to adopt in your life today? The author of this book teaches this formula. It's called habit stacking. And he presents this idea that if you really want to take on a new habit in your life, you need to do it before or after something you're already doing. That's a really positive thing. So here's the formula. He says, after or before current habit, I will new habit. Okay, so what's the habit that you need to show God you're ready to take seriously? And what do you need to connect it to? He outlines this really simple habit scorecard, and I want you to take a picture or remember these questions because this is your assignment for this week. You need to take the time to do this. This is straight out of his book, Atomic Habits. List out every single habit that you do throughout your day. Positive ones, the negative ones, and the neutral ones, which neutral ones are things that you need to do regardless of how you feel about it, like brushing your teeth. The concept here is that if you can start identifying the habits in your life that are really good and really bad, there's a chance that you'll be able to eliminate one of those bad ones and replace it with that new habit that you so desperately want to see in your life. I took some time this week to list out my own habits, and it's really hard, but this only works if you are honest with yourself and write down the negative ones. Don't just pretend like everything you do in your day is super productive. Do you know how hard it was for me to write, waste time until Ryland wakes up? But that's what I do. I'm just waiting around, and I'm probably scrolling social media or doing something that just is a waste of my time. Find one of those negative habits, replace it with the positive one that you want to see in your life. Your life is not going to be transformed until your heart is open to God moving in your life. You're not gonna read your Bible to achieve something other than becoming more like Jesus. That is what God's voice in your life has the power to do. This is not going to happen unless we can start hearing God's voice and know that it's him. We have to position our hearts and be willing to tune in, to train, and allow God to transform our lives. Reading your Bible and immersing yourself in prayer is the habit. The end result is you will become more like Jesus, and that's what we want for every single one of you. Will you pray with me? God, you have given us the privilege to spend time in your word and the privilege to come to you in conversation and prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What is it that you need me and everyone in this room and online who's joining us to hear today? Open our eyes. Let us see every word of your truth with our eyes wide open like we never have before, so that we will know better how to build your kingdom and serve you more effectively and share your love for all of us with everyone we meet. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.